The following service was recorded live on Easter Sunday, April 16th, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Happy Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning, celebrating the resurrected Christ through grace and mercy. You'll notice a little transformation was taking place, didn't you? Did you notice everything was kind of bare in here and there wasn't anything up here and the cross was black? That's because on Monday, Thursday, we take all the pretty stuff out and it don't get to come back until Easter Sunday morning, to symbolize the resurrection, the new life, and all that we have is because of Christ's gift for us. So good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. For today is the day that the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May God's grace live within us. May His hope live through us. May His peace be shared by us. May His presence be known by us. May we share that as we go and grow in faith. And as we come now to worship Him, let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we come now to worship You, let us truly worship You on this Easter Sunday and every day in spirit and in truth. Let us claim the promise that where two or three are gathered, You will be in the midst of them. So, Father, we claim that promise today. Finding You in the midst of us, may we truly worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
John 20, 1 through 18, and Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her. Now we go to Colossians 3, page 957, 1 through 4. "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also will be revealed with him in glory." The words of God for the people of God.
I know I'm getting a little older. I could tell that most mornings. Takes a little longer to get. Anybody else know about that getting going thing in the morning? I used to be a cup of coffee and go. Now I'm a pot and hope. You know, just don't do as good as it used to. But I remember going to school and we had chalkboards, okay? Some of you younger folks may not even know what a chalkboard is, but it was a real mess. And I remember one of my jobs was often to clean the chalkboard at lunch. You had to get a rag and a bucket and get up there and just scrub that chalkboard off. Then you had to dust the erasers. What I like to do was take the erasers and make designs on the wall outside. But then I was explained to that I wasn't to do that. So I had to clean the wall outside. So I didn't do that again. But I remember thinking, you know, everything that teacher put on that board is gone. It is wiped clean. Now I know you have whiteboards today and you got to get the ink off of them. And lo and behold, I go into schools because Carrie's teacher will go in. I see somebody's been on there with a Sharpie. And that don't come off so good. But you erase. But now we've got electronics. And we got smart boards and Promethean boards and all those things. And you could change what was there in a moment. Something that was there, something new could be put up right away. You know, the thing about Easter and the thing about Christianity is called new life. When we give our heart to Christ, and I'm not talking about head knowledge. Folks, the demons know that Jesus is the Son of God. The demons know to fear the Scriptures. The demons know all that stuff. There's a difference. To take Jesus from here to here. From him being a Savior somewhere in a dusty book to a Savior of your soul. You see, it's at that point that you can have a new life. You don't get that new life until he's the Savior of your soul, not the Redeemer of your mind. This will take care of the other. But here's what you get when you become a new Christian. How many of you remember when you became a new Christian? How much did you know? Some of us, me included, are learning the longer I am, the less I know. The more I study his book, the less I know that I knew. So how many of you remember that newness of life? How many of you remember that joy of that initial experience with Christ? Maybe it was over a little time. And you realized maybe you were like Wesley. Wesley was an Anglican priest, went to a St. Paul's Cathedral, to a Romans Bible study, came out of the cathedral from the Bible study, went out in the courtyard, and in that courtyard, he realized that in Christ he did trust. It went from here to here. It's only 12 inches, but it's a lifetime sometimes. But new life. How many of us have made mistakes? Some of you haven't. Or you're not admitting it. You're in church, he already knows. Yeah, I've made mistakes, and guess what? I'm going to make some more. But I am thankful that as I get older, as I have a little more experience, they come a little further in between. Now, I got to ask you, good folks, how many of you listen to your parents' advice? Well, let me ask you, how many of you listen to anybody's advice? You know, really, honest and truly, we kind of got to experience it ourselves, don't we? Somebody says the stove's hot, we're going to kind of go over there to see, aren't we? Now, we may not go as far as putting our hand on it to see, but we got to see, don't we? We got to experience it ourselves. And the best thing about being a Christian is we don't get called out on strikes. How many of you play baseball, softball? How many opportunities do you get? 3. After that, you have to go sit down, don't you? That's what I like about Jesus, is when we repent and give it to him, we get a fresh slate. We get a clean board. It's removed. It's a new life. When we give our life to him, that old person dies. Now, here's the thing. Have you ever noticed how dead things stink? You know, it don't take long till the roadkill up the street has to be removed, especially when the summer sun comes at it. So if the dead things smell bad, what do we want to do with it? Do we want to get rid of it? No. Bury it. Do something. Put lime on it at least, you know. You do know lime will take that odor away for a little while, right? Yeah, just FYI. So we want to, and Paul says in Colossians that if we are dead with Christ, Christ was buried, then we are raised with Christ, a new creation, the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us. For the former thing has died and a new thing is created. Do you know what the thing about new things are? They don't know anything. I mean, how many times have you looked at a baby and wondered, I just wish it could say what's wrong? I've fed it, I've burped it, I've diapered it, I've fed it, I've burped it, I've diapered it, I've walked it, drove it in the car, I've rocked it in the seat, I've went around in circles 72 times, I lay this thing down, and it just makes noises. Can it not just quit that? I'm dead. I haven't slept in 2 days. You need a little rest. You've been there, haven't you? Might not have been so long ago for some. But that's the way new things are. Then you know what? We think that's bad. They hit 2. Have you read the book about the terrible 2s? They ain't nothing compared to the 3s. Do you know why we don't read a book about the terrible 3s? They didn't survive it to write it. I'm telling you. Okay, you tell me I'm telling you a story right here in church. You tell me that little critter that's not learned to climb every curtain in the house, get into every cabinet, pull out every drawer, turn over everything, spill everything, turn on everything, pull everything. Have you ever been shopping with a 3-year-old? And when you got up to the checkout counter, that sure wasn't your buggy. That somebody else's. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Have you ever been going through a Walmart store, just booging along, you're going back there, and all of a sudden a coat rack is going with you. because it's reached out to get it. And that three-year-old's strong enough to pull that whole rack of stuff down, and you try to get away before somebody sees it. Yeah? Or you'll do the Steve Urkel thing, say, did I do that? You know, you're not so sure. But then you got that little guy, and he gets to about five, you know, and now it's really getting dangerous. It's reading some. But he don't understand what it's reading yet. And now the questions begin, right? And experimenting with everything. Babies start eating everything. You have to pick up everything, don't you? I mean, they just eat everything. Drano, it don't matter. They're just going to get, so you put it up. You lock your cabinets. We used to put twist ties on the doors, you know, so get them both open. You know, all those things. It's brand new, isn't it? Then it turns into a teenager, and bless Pat, it knows everything. But knows nothing. They can tell you everything you do wrong. And some of them get stuck there. Kids, if you're teenagers, you're going to hear me. Parents, if you hear me, you know what I'm talking. They get stuck, and they don't get over until they're 50. You know, they still think they know everything, but they still don't know anything, and they can't even take care of themselves yet. You know, they're still back there. You know, every teenager should just go live on its own for about a month and find out that light bill's going to come for, you know, right? Toilet paper, you take that for granted too, don't you? Just the way it is. New life. And then, you know, I tell people, this is one of my, now that where I'm at in my developmental stages, I think that youth is wasted on the young. Really, I could go back with what I know now. I'd do things different. You know, there are many stages in our life when we'd like to have a new life, a new start, a new beginning. And for us as Christians, we get that in Christ. But we get far more than that. We get the Holy Spirit and a resurrected Lord. It's kind of like putting Nicholas in a Maserati and giving him the keys and telling him to have fun. A brand new Christian don't know to do what to do with this powerful gift they've been given. They're still struggling with letting the old go and taking a hold of the new. And we as Christians are called to make disciples in the Great Commission. In other words, we're called to be a community that supports each other and lifts each other up. We're called to make disciples, not Christians. And that's a process. Where people make mistakes, where they come and go, where they fall and they get up, where we don't agree, but we agree to love each other. It is that community where we struggle with things and we admittedly do so. It's that community where we look around and say, I'm not perfect and they're not either, but we believe in Jesus and we'll get there together. That's the new life that is in Christ Jesus. That's who we're called to. I want to give you an example of that quickly. Carrie reminded me of this. They're doing this Beth Moore study on Timothy, and she shares some things along the way. And Beth was sharing this story about this mentor lady, and the next thing I know, I'm crying, you know, and all this stuff's going everywhere. You need to understand, I don't cry pretty. Some of you probably do. I cannot cry and talk. Some of you probably can. For me, it's one or the other. Because the snot's going to go, and my whole face is, it's just bad business. And then it takes a long time to get over, you know. I look like I've been in a fight with Muhammad Ali after I get, you know. So we're on the bed, and she's talking about this, and I'm talking about my new life, and I'm talking about this here, this is my man. She don't know all that, you know, but she's telling me this, and just like that. Just like that, God brought a memory. I've been doing this preaching thing for over 20 years. I started in 1992 down the path to ministry. There was a guy who was a district superintendent who was responsible for us new volunteers, recruits, whatever you wanted to call us. His name was Donald Richard Haynes. Dr. Haynes. Bless his heart, he drew me, you know. And I remember going to see Dr. Gary Brown in Salisbury, or in Statesville, North Carolina. And Gary Brown was the psychological evaluator of those new clergy. And he sat down with Dr. Haynes and I and went over this lengthy psychological evaluation. And he told Don, he said, "I find Jimmy of sound mind, mostly. I find Jimmy with lots of potential, we hope. We find Jimmy capable and able to comprehend and understand and move forward and whatever. In other words, Don, I find Jimmy to be a diamond in the rough who needs a good jeweler. To be sure, the diamond doesn't get ruined." Don became my jeweler. He told me many things, but he showed me many more. You see, in our Christian faith journey, we hear much, but it's what our hands and our minds and hearts experience. And sometimes people experience that through our relationships with each other. I don't know if it was premonition or not, but I went to local pastor school, and he introduced me to a fellow by the name of Dr. Little, and Don was there. And I drew, my sermon was a suicide, funeral for a suicide. I didn't know what to do. I'm wandering around trying to figure out how am I going to address this. You know, all of these preachers and these other clergy guys, you know, women, what am I going to say about this? And I spot Don sitting out kind of in one of the little courtyards there, my jeweler. I go over and I sit down with Don, and he looks really lost in his thoughts. And I said, "Don, a penny for your thoughts." He said, "They're not worth it." He said, "I wasn't thinking about anything, just enjoying a breeze and shade." He said, "What's on your mind?" And I told him. He said, "Jimmy, you got to deal with it. It's the elephant in the room." He said, "You got to scratch its ears, pet its trunk, and acknowledge it smells bad, and rub its scaly skin. Everybody's going to know it, and you need to tell about it." I said, "How do I do that, Don?" He said, "You got to deal with it. You got to show God's grace in it." And I've dealt with hundreds of suicides since that day. And that little chip from my jeweler has helped me do that with grace. Because the next words out of Don Haynes' mouth will never leave my mind. My son had killed himself. And I pray, I know that grace is sufficient. You see, church, being a church means a lot. Being a Christian means a lot. That new life, don't waste it. Use it. Share it. Bring people along. Put your arms around them. You see, Easter's about love. Wasn't nails that held him, it was love. And that's what it takes in a Christian community, is love. It takes love to heal. It takes love to forgive. It takes love to give hope. It takes love to bear all things and hope all things and believe all things. And it's love, church, that never ends. Everything else will close out and be gone. Your youth will go. All of that stuff, it'll go away. Let's do an experiment in closing. Close your eyes for just a minute. I've done this before, and some of you have been in the experiment. Think of someone you have loved and lost. Bring them in there right now. You still love them, don't you? just as strong right now, don't you? You see, that love didn't die. And guess what? Neither did they. For love never ends. God's love for you will never end. And God empowers us to love the same through the Holy Spirit. And folks, that's what it means to be a Christian and to have a new life. That's what the cross was. And that's why the tomb's empty. That's the message of Easter. And love came down and lived among us. And love died for us because it was the only way to redeem us. May we know love that is in Christ and a new life that's in Christ. But you got to take it from your head to your heart. Love and a new life, a clean slate and a fresh beginning. But you got to learn to seek forgiveness and you got to learn to forgive. For the Bible says that if we do not forgive, our sins are not forgiven us. We have to forgive in love. Our gracious and loving God, may we truly know and love you. May we truly know and love others through you. May we truly know grace for our sins, and may we bring somebody along who is new in the journey of faith. May we buddy up, help them out, show them the way. And in the process, we too will learn more about the journey. So, Father, help us this day live it out in love and grace, forgiving as we have been forgiven, knowing that everyone makes mistakes, but there's grace abundant. That Christ moves from the head to the heart as we trust Him every day, as we stumble, as we fall, as we reach pinnacles and times to rejoice. As revelations come and doubts are dissuaded, as dread is replaced with hope and hope springs into hope shared with others in our lives. And Father, may the message of the church go out through us living out Christ in us by loving our neighbors as ourselves, forgiving as we have been forgiven, filled with your Holy Spirit to love and to encourage, to challenge, to stand on the truth of God's Word, to follow it every day in the life we live and the grace we share. May we study it, may we hold it, may we follow it, and may we share it, this hope that is in a new life in Christ Jesus. And Father, may every day be an Easter, a day of new beginnings before the very throne of the living God. Hear our hearts and prayers this day lifted before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever fools may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow ways. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is. stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know.
Now may on this Easter Sunday, you know God's grace, love, and light in your life. May His grace and love fill you and let you share it in the world around you. May you know new life, new beginnings, and new hope that is in Christ Jesus. And now may you go in the peace of God, a peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that grace and love abide within you. Through Christ, go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.